Today's reading is from Hebrews 10, 32 to 39 and Matthew 24, 9 to 14. I'll start with Hebrews. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Matthew 24. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. Then the end will come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather together. And please, Lord, open our minds, open our hearts to hear your word here today, that may guide us in our lives, that may allow us to understand you more, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Most churches celebrated, or at least, if not celebrated, their messages or the messages were about the persecuted church. But because we had something very important going on in our city, Mission Global, and I am happy to report that it was one of the best Mission Global, if not the first, but as Mission Global, but Mission Effet before, and we are thankful to God for guiding us, helping us, and for the exhibitors who came. So this Sunday, we'll be looking, I thought to call it the persecuted church is correct, but it's even better to call or give the title for this message, the persecuted Christian. Because the church is made up of Christians, of human beings. It's not a building, it's not an organization, it's not an establishment, but it is the body of Christ made up of believers. And the persecuted church, of course, refers to the body of Christ, but let's call it this morning, the message this morning, the persecuted Christians. And I remember as a child, this morning I was saying, do I have any personal experiences as a persecuted Christian? And I came up with some little things, and as a child, I was thrown out of a school because I challenged a priest in Greece, because he was teaching us religion, and he said, if you want to pray to God, then you go to the priest and you tell the priest what you want to tell God, and the priest will tell God and your sins will be forgiven. So I stood up. I was only, 17, 16. And I said, sir, excuse me, why can't I go directly to God? And he said, well, how would you do that? Will you go to the moon and then speak to God? And I said, no, but will the priest go to the moon and speak to God? And he threw me out of the class and then asked me to leave the school. That's the only persecution that I can remember this morning, there were other things happening too. But also I remembered Kostas Makris, a Greek evangelist in Greece, was arrested and imprisoned some years ago because he went out distributing New Testaments with a boat, with a ship Logos, and he then gave some tracts, and he was arrested for proselytizing Greeks. But there are others that give their lives for Christ. Did you know that every year 160,000 to 250,000 of our brethren die because of their Christian faith? But there are probably far more of them that we never hear about. This is happening all over the world in dramatically increasing numbers. But we in the Western world don't know much about the persecuted Christians. We have our own problems, people say. Well, they have their own problems. Why do we have our own problems? And we sort of dwell on our problems and we magnify and amplify our problems. But have you ever noticed how our problems melt away when we look at the problems of others? How difficult would our challenges look when we consider a young Korean evangelist imprisoned for 15 years for the crime of possessing a Bible? Or when we think of Christians in Pakistan sentenced to death on charges of blaspheming Muhammad? What do our lives look like in the light of hundreds of Chinese pastors living in prison? Or Christians in Southeast Asia suffering in labor camps because of their Christian faith? You may say, well, how do you know all that stuff? You're making it up. No, I'm not making it up. Go on the internet and look. Or read the magazines, the papers. How small our problems seem when we see millions of Christians forced to live in poverty due to religious discrimination. Let me give you some more examples of what Christians are going through around the world today. I'm not trying to politicize this thing, and the countries that I'm mentioning are countries that have been reported of doing this. Vietnamese authorities burned more than 10 homes of Christians who refused to deny their faith. Christians in the Soi Rat hamlet of Quang Ngai province were forced to flee their village on July the 21st. They belonged to the Evangelical Church of Vietnam. In Beijing, Pastor Zhang Mingxuang was arrested. His house church was shut down and his son was brutally attacked. Police sealed the door of Pastor Zhang's church and blocked it with two truckloads of rubbish. In Iran, 43 believers from Muslim background are behind prison bars. In India, the death toll continues to rise as extremists extend their anti-Christian rampage across 12 Indian states. In one village, two Christians were murdered and 400 homes were burned. A recent report from India says that at least 57 people have been killed and more than 18,000 injured. Tens of thousands are homeless. In Nigeria, Islamist radicals have launched attacks on Christians. At least 3 Christians have been killed and others injured. The Iranian parliament's approval of a bill imposing the death penalty for apostates is a blow to Christians with Muslim background. In Indonesia, hundreds of Christian students and staff were forced to flee their college and now have nowhere to go. 600 female students and staff in East Jakarta have been living in tents since a Muslim mob razed their evangelical school. In Cambodia, an estimated 400 Christians were killed over the Easter period. In Sri Lanka, Christians are on the defensive after a series of attacks on churches by radical Buddhists. In Bangladesh, two evangelists in the Bo Almari district, Faridpur, were stabbed to death around midnight on July the 29th. Muslim militants in eastern Indonesia burned down several hundred homes in an overnight attack on many Christians, a Christian area, and 26 people were killed. Excuse me. In Egypt, young Christian males and females are being kidnapped and forcibly converted to Islam. In the Mexican state of Chiapas, Christians have been beaten, murdered, and had their homes burned down. And what about the persecuted Christians and church in North America, someone may ask? I read about a pastor who had a conversation with a friend, also a pastor in Eastern Europe, where the church is persecuted. This friend said to this other minister that Satan works either as an angel of light or as a roaring lion. He went on to say that they fought the roaring lion back in his country, but after he visited the United States, he realized that the enemy was working as an angel of light. He went on to say that they fought the roaring lion back in his country, but after visiting the U.S., he realized that the enemy was working as an angel of light. I'm repeating this because it's important. He then soberly stated that he would rather fight the roaring lion. I believe he said that because it is almost impossible to fight a battle when you do not see the enemy, it is almost impossible to protect yourself and your family when you do not see the danger. But the danger is real. The church and true believers here in North America are being attacked by the same enemy, Satan. Only here, he appears as an angel of light. In countries where Christians are persecuted, many of them lose their lives and churches. Here, where the enemy is more subtle, Christians lose their faith, and the gospel has no effect on people's lives because the enemy has compromised the message. Instead of being burned or shut down by the enemies of Christ, churches here are torn down by Satan's false prophets and their followers. You say, well, it's not so dangerous. It is more dangerous. When someone comes with a gun about to shoot you, you have few choices, but you at least see the enemy. But if someone poisons your water drop by dropping one drop each time, while you think everything is safe and you are poisoned to death, that you have no choice. There is no choice there. The church today in North America and around the world is being attacked by Satan and the enemies of Christ. Each country has a different story to tell. Each Christian faces persecution. Some may lose their lives, others they lose their nerve and hope, and they are bombarded by all kinds of doctrines. The devil knows how to attack the church and believers. And while evil men and imposters are busy deceiving and inventing new and more evil ways to attack and persecute the church, the invisible universal church, the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit is adding new members to it. Even though I mentioned China and many other countries, and this is not a political statement, and I'm not attacking any particular country, but I'm stating the facts that people are being persecuted. And while all this is going on, the largest number of born-again evangelical believers are today in China. And while all this persecution is going on, half of Korea, probably South Korea, are Christians. And while this is going on in North America and in the Latin American countries, believers are turning to Christ. And because of all this activity, the devil is attacking now even more and using all kinds of ways to attack the church. Now, if Jesus said we will be persecuted as he was, why are we so concerned about those who are being persecuted, someone may ask? And how does their persecution relate to us, someone else may say? Well, let us not forget that there is a powerful spiritual principle. The church is a living body, and every part of the body belongs and has a part in the mission of our Lord. The church is a living organism, not an organization. And while my little finger may be not as important as my heart, but when I cut my little finger or there's something happening to my little finger, the entire body hurts and my brain hurts. So that's how it is with the church, the body of Christ. When one little person in Bangladesh or in Sri Lanka or somewhere else is being persecuted, the entire body of believers should hurt. And I know the head hurts, the brain, Jesus hurts, seeing these people persecuted. What can we do? Well, we'll see what we can do as Christians later on. In Romans 12, verse 5, we read, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." The Indian brother in India who is being persecuted is my brother. The person in China is my sister and my brother. Also in Ephesians 5:30 we read, "For we are members of his body." And as members of the same body, we must be concerned for each other. As Apostle Paul reminded the Jewish believers of the persecution they went through and their love for those who were being persecuted, he encouraged them and tells them to persevere, and that God will reward them. The word perseverance sometimes is being misunderstood. The word perseverance sometimes is hated by doctrinal differences, but the word persevere is very biblical, and it means to continue fighting the good fight and finish the course. In Hebrews 10:32-34, we read, "Remember those earlier days after you heard you had received the light when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions." In Hebrews 13:3, Apostle Paul once again reminds them about the persecuted Christians. He says, "Remember those in prison if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ministered as if you yourselves were suffering. Mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering." Now the question is, What can we in Canada do for those who are being persecuted around the world? Well, if we who enjoy almost unlimited freedom didn't do anything, who will? If we cannot help them, who can? Now, how can we help? It's not money. These people are not asking for money. These people are not asking for clothing. These people are not asking to go there and build churches. These people are asking us to pray and bring them to the throne, before the throne of God in prayer, and not forget them. These people want to know that there are brothers and churches in free countries that care for them, that remember them, that they will write them a letter and support the missionaries. Brother Shubroto will be going to Bangladesh in a few days. And later on, one of our members, Jonathan, will be joining him for a while. Well, we can send our greetings to the Bangladeshi brothers and sisters, telling them that we care for them, that we'll be praying for them. Others will go to other countries where the Bible is... Richard will be going to China. Well, he can remind some of the brothers and sisters when he sees them that we are praying for them, that we care for them. Others will be visiting other countries. These brothers and sisters should not feel they are alone. They should feel, they should know that Christians everywhere care for them. Well, you know, Jesus said that if they did these things to me, why won't they do these things to you? And if Jesus was persecuted, and then he was killed on the cross, and if other disciples were all tortured and put to death, why should we be treated any better? Well, we are very privileged in Canada that we don't go to prison for reading the Bible, for saying these things from the pulpit, but one day I won't be able to say these things from the pulpit. And one day this is going to be considered illegal, and it may even be illegal right now. But you know what? We say these things and we share these thoughts so we can pray for the brothers and sisters and thank God for the privileges He has allowed us to have. So there are at least four things we must do. First, to know. Knowing is the beginning. Unless you know, you don't know what to pray for and what to thank God for. To know. The second is to tell. I'm doing this to you now. And you can share it with others. Not in a very aggressive way, not fighting, not calling these people bad people, because the devil has blinded people. They don't know what they're doing. And this is exactly what Jesus said from the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. They don't know what they're doing. So first is to know. Second is to tell others. Third, to pray. Pray for them. And fourth, to help where we can. I'm not here this morning to say, okay, let's get a collection and send them money, because that's not going to set them free. Because the money is not going to make their government or the zealots who do this, and not all the countries, in all the countries where these things are going, the governments are doing the bad things, are zealots, religious zealots. Well, we've done it as Christian religion in the past, and why wouldn't they do it today? And what I'm saying is let us read and know and hear what's going on in the family of God. Let's tell others and remind them to pray for them and pray for them. And then if there is anything you can do to help, please help. You were given a bulletin cover, and that is the Bible League of Canada. And believe me, you can go to their website and we will say some few more things. I have a little DVD to show you downstairs And if you want to know more, you can get in touch with these people or any other organization you know. But we must also look into our own life and see whether we would be as faithful as our persecuted brethren are, and ask, what am I doing for the kingdom of God with all the freedom and means in my disposal? Now, that's a very important statement. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? There are millions of people, there are hundreds of thousands of people who have lost their lives just following Christ and serving Christ. We often don't even have, we're not even willing sometimes to give an hour or 2 hours to do something for the Lord. We're not willing to go out and give tracts. Now, what does it mean? It means that we're spreading, we're telling others that Christ is the only way. Now, I know it's a religious statement, but it shouldn't be a religious statement. It is a statement of utmost importance that God loves human beings, that God sent His Son and died on the cross for the salvation of all mankind. Whoever believes in Him will be saved. Do you know what a persecuted Christian would probably ask you to do? He would ask you to make sure that they are not forgotten. Their deepest fear is that no one knows about them and that no one is praying for them. Remember them in your daily prayers. Help those who are helping them, missionaries, those who send literature, those who are praying for them, join them and pray with them. May God give us the understanding of the need to support these people, but also may God rekindle the fire in our lives to see the urgency of spreading the good news, for only Christ can change lives, and only Christ can bring joy, peace, and serenity, and eternal life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for blessing us. We thank you, Lord, for the best example you gave us, and that is, Lord Jesus, you going on the cross, suffering the pain and humiliation to save us. And Lord, you have given us instructions, and you said, go and make disciples of all nations. And that's exactly what we are expected to do. But also you said, follow me. And we must only focus on you and follow you. May the Lord Jesus give us that willingness and strength to do it. Amen.